And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
Hey, everyone, it's Rich coming to you here with Leaving MAGA at the Midas Touch Network. I just want to thank you guys for all of the engagement that you've had with our prior videos and our testimonials. We're at over several million views. I have a really amazing woman and story for you today as another Leaving MAGA testimonial. Her name is Stefania Messina. Happened to meet her recently, gotten to know each other a little bit. Her story is one that I think women in particular who have no friends and family in MAGA, I think are really going to relate to. And she's got a really powerful, moving story. Her name is Stefania Messina. I want to bring her in. Stefania, come on in. I want to thank you for being here. I know that this is difficult to do. And I think you're just showing such bravery and courage to go and tell this story about what attracted you to MAGA, why you stayed, why you left. In reading your testimonial, which is going to be on our site at leavingmaga.org very soon, I found noteworthy your upbringing. And if you would speak about that for a moment, because I feel like the upbringing that you went through and the hardships and surviving them really somewhat paved the way for you to come into MAGA.
Yeah, sure. So I am half Italian and half Greek. My mother was the youngest of eight in an Italian family. My dad, the second oldest of six. And the really monumental thing that happened in my family that led to a lot of trauma was my uncle passing away in Vietnam. My father was only 14 when this happened, and he ran away from home, had some really terrible experiences, and became hooked on heroin. He became a heroin addict. But he was what we call a working addict, so he still worked my entire life. He was a residential painter, but he struggled with addiction his entire adult life until he passed in 2017. So my upbringing was one in which my mother tried to shield us from that fact for a very long time. And there was just a lot of tension, turmoil, fighting. My younger brother had some behavioral issues. And so I just lived in a very emotionally chaotic household. And I became a people pleaser. I became a golden child. And yeah, it was a period of time that I looked at through rosy colored glasses for a very long time that left me with a lot of trauma that I held on to and didn't heal until recent years.
So thank you for sharing that. Again, I know that that is difficult to share, and there's a vulnerability to these stories and the kind of testimony you're giving. It's why I think people are so moved by them. And I just, as I'm hearing you talk about trauma and what you went through as a child, my observations with so many who went into MAGA and then wound up leaving is that there is something about these MAGA mythologies that I think really do prey upon some of the various traumas that people have experienced over time. Because I feel like there's a part of your bio that I want to ask you about right now that made you, in addition to everything you just said, that made you a little bit ready-made, I feel like, for MAGA. And that was your time in the so-called charismatic evangelical world. I'd like for you to talk about that a little bit, because I think that is pertinent to your MAGA experience.
Yeah, sure. So my husband came out of a very high control religious upbringing. His dad was a reformed hitman from the mafia who then became a prison minister, and his grandparents were both pastors. And he had walked away from all that after his father had died when he was 13. And so that's relevant because I had also been brought up in the church for a number of years, but my father's addiction had gotten to a point where we ended up moving and no longer attending church. So when my husband and I met, we were both looking for a new way to live, trying to find ourselves, having come out of these traumatic childhood experiences. And just like most young 20-somethings, newly married and having children, you know, we were having a lot of learning experiences and we were struggling with money. And at that point in time, we lived in a farmhouse. We were in over our head financially, house poor, as some people like to call it, and really just hit a low point in our marriage. We were, we had just had our third child. And that is when I got saved. That is when I had like a spiritual awakening experience and was really heavily drawn into the church. It didn't start off that way. It started off as something, you know, emotional that I needed to help heal me. But once I started to read Christian literature and listen to Christian radio, it was a very smooth entrance into the evangelical network and system. And so about 2015, my husband and I and our three kids at the time, we started attending a fundamentalist evangelical church. And it was slipping into that and becoming, you know, that really becoming our whole world that led us into Trumpism and MAGA, which really didn't take hold of the church that I was in until about late 2017, I would say. Because up until that point, in the churches that I was a part of, no one took Trump too seriously. It wasn't until after he was already in office that I started to hear a lot of talk about him being a chosen person by the church to represent the church in the government, that he was going to be doing God's will, especially when it was regarding abortion and when it was regarding LGBTQ. And so that is when I started to support Donald Trump, I would say would be 2017.
So again, thank you for that. So you have all of these crises that happen and it disrupts the family. There's a lot of emotional, mental, familial turmoil. And then you wind up finding yourself in this faith community. And I use the word community because I think it's quite natural that with those crises, you would have looked to find a place where people would accept you. And I say this all the time about MAGA, that MAGA is a community. And the more that we say that, I think the more that Americans who are against Trump and against MAGA, especially who have friends and family in the thrall of MAGA still, they will understand a little more what the enticement is about MAGA. And so I'm curious about, so you're in a very, very, very religious environment. Yes. And you've got now colliding, that's colliding with MAGA. What was that dynamic like? Because I remember in the testimonial that you offered us, you talked a lot about in the church, it being a lot of acting and a lot of performing and a lot of the inevitable hypocrisy really exposed itself. And you saw that.
So I think this is an important point to discuss because as I've been telling my story and people have been asking me this question, I think what I want to convey is that they weren't two separate entities for us. So for those in the church, their faith views, their religious worldview, and this concept of MAGA that we now see outside of it, that is one and the same for them. So when people ask me, well, where was this transition from being a Christian into being MAGA? It naturally flowed. So you have to remember that the core ideologies of MAGA, the core issues that MAGA holds, wanting to rid this country of abortion, wanting to delegitimize homosexuals, and wanting to get rid of the Dobbs decision, being so pro Second Amendment and feeling like there is always this existential threat that is coming, you know, to steal our individual liberty. Those are not MAGA ideas. Those are conservative Christian ideas. So when I think about MAGA, I see it as an extension or a manifestation of Christian nationalism. So to me, there is no distinction between my political views at that time and my religious views at that time. They were in essence the same. Trump came into Christian nationalism. He did not create MAGA. MAGA is just this byproduct of Christian nationalism plus Trump. And so in terms of community, yes, community was something that I did not have. Again, coming out of a high religious upbringing for my husband, coming out of this traumatic upbringing for me and charting this new course on our own, yes, we were hungry for community, for a place to safely raise our family in. And the church always looked like that to us. And then entering it and being accepted and having all of that, it was our entire life. It was our entire tribe, the church. 3-4 days a week, we were attending church. I was teaching Sunday school, children's church. I led worship. My husband was training to be a pastor. And so when the church chose Trump, he became a part of that. And so I hope that makes that distinction, that it's not two different things for most people. They just view it as a natural acceptance because he supports what they support. So I hope that makes sense.
It does. And actually, I don't ever remember before Trump hearing about Christian nationalism. Maybe I had in some random place, but now it's actually a very important part of the discourse for exactly the reasons that you just said. I want to read something from our testimonial that you gave here, because this is a segue, I think, about why you left, which everyone always wants to know, Stefania. Why did you leave? Why did you leave? I'm always asked that. And I'm always so happy to tell everyone. So I want to just read this part here from the testimonial.
Okay.
I had been a faithful follower of One American News and Newsmax, but I switched to NPR. I started doing real research. I started to think critically again. I realized what a fiasco the pandemic had been. So many people focus on January 6th as Trump's worst moment, but I think his lack of leadership during COVID was one of the most egregious acts of any president. So January 6th and the pandemic, two reasons amongst a few others why I decided to leave MAGA. Now, I want to ask this as a timeline and then find out from you, what's your life like now being out of MAGA? And how, all right, what's your mental health like now? What's your worldview like now? And how long would you say it really took from the time your doubts commenced to the decision to say, I'm out, I can't support this anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. So we left the church in May of 2021 after seeing and no longer being able to sit quietly through the hypocrisy that we were seeing, the incongruence between people who claim to be these loving Jesus followers who refuse to mask for the immunocompromised in our church community, seeing the lack of love when it came to even acknowledging COVID as the crisis that it was. There was this exclusivity in the church where it wasn't impacted as much as everyone else because people were forming into pods that the government had recommended kind of unwittingly prior to them even saying that. We were in these pods that were just not getting impacted the way that the outside world was. And so for a while, I saw it that way. But then as I said before, when people close to me were being impacted by COVID, that is one of the unfortunate things that is common with everyone I talk to who has come out of this mindset. It took something personal. Because when you have this overarching worldview that I've described as almost like an iron dome that protects from outside logic and reason, I could not see the evidence clearly until I had a wake-up call. And so, yes, COVID, yes, January 6th, while they were happening, I still wasn't seeing it clearly. It wasn't until, again, someone in my own family, my own husband, got seriously ill from COVID. It wasn't until I had to go back to work after that. So it was almost like I was in this safe little bubble where things weren't impacting me because of my worldview, because of the protection of my church, so to speak. And once I moved out of that, once I was fully and wholeheartedly rejected by the church that I had dedicated my life to for 7 years, people refusing to talk to me because I had criticisms of the church, spoke up and left. I was ostracized. And so the first few months after leaving, I would say the first 6 months to a year were very dark. Because when you walk away from a life that you built, not just with your immediate family, but with these people in the church, there is an extreme depression that overcomes you. And so I have been into therapy. I have discovered, you know, the very emotional things that led me in to begin with. And yes, when I came out, I would say about a year out, had to go back to work, which is difficult. I have 5 children. And so I feel like in a weird act of karma or whatever you will call it, 2021 was the worst year of my life, almost losing my husband, having to work in a hospital post-COVID that was extremely understaffed. It was like I was getting the full dose of what everyone had been talking about on the left and seeing it because I was experiencing it. And naturally, when you're going through that, and again, yes, I started to look at the news sites that I had completely ignored. And I'm not talking about CNN. I mean, places like NPR, where I would hear things, research them myself, things I had not done in the church, because I had two sources in the church, the Bible and Trump. I like to say that Trump was our primary source and we would back everything he set up with the Bible. And so coming out of that, you know, doing my own research again, I started to see things clearly. And now my life is, it's still crazy. You know, I'm still rebuilding. There's a deconstruction and a reconstruction. So coming out of MAGA, coming out of the church, we're rebuilding and we're doing well, but it's tough. It's not perfect and we're not there yet, you know?
And I respect it's going to take time. As you're speaking, it's conjuring all the emotions for me of my time in MAGA and just always being in this fight or flight adrenaline rush of fighting this political battle and then coming out of it. And you're really giving voice to something that I think a lot of Americans, and for understandable reasons, maybe don't comprehend as well because they were never in MAGA, but it is really hard to walk away from it. You know, there is a community in which we're validated and we're vindicated and we invest ourselves in it beyond just anything financial. And you're doing it. And I think, though I don't like to always make topics about race and gender, I think as a white woman in particular, having left, I don't want to volunteer you for this, but I'm going to volunteer you here. I see you as a leader in the movement to empower people to leave MAGA. And I just think so much of your story, it's impossible for people to look away. And I think for those amongst us who are going to start having doubts about their support for Trump, I think that you're going to be someone who's going to be amongst the very first that they turn to try to figure out how do they get into the exit ramp, the off ramp. That's why we really created Leaving MAGA. It's why we're doing these videos, is to create that new community. So I've got a feeling, as we wrap up here, that a lot of people are going to want to connect with you. So again, no pressure. Where can everyone find you online so they can reach out to you, learn a little bit more about your story?
Yeah, sure. So I started posting on TikTok just a few months ago after my oldest son was diagnosed with cancer, and I just wanted a place to kind of connect with other cancer moms. And then through that, started posting about my journey. There's been interest, which has shocked me, but so you can find me on, you can find me on TikTok at In the Chillest Land. And that is my space where I'm just kind of sharing my story. And I plan to do maybe a 4 or 5 video series on my story, just diving a little bit deeper into these topics in those little 10-minute formats. Because as you can see, I struggle a little bit telling my story because this is all new. It's taken me 3 years. Yeah, it's taken me 3 years to have the confidence to speak up, because it is incredibly, I don't want to understate how hard it is to leave. And that's why I am so grateful that we met and that you are doing what you're doing, because feeling like I had nowhere to go for 3 years, feeling like, okay, I left this space. These people essentially hate me now. And I was afraid to speak up. I was afraid of getting all of this backlash on the left. It has been the opposite. People have been so kind and so welcoming. I have not gotten the judgment that I was afraid of, oh, you're an idiot. How could you fall for that? It was really people lifting me up and saying, you did the right thing. And I didn't expect that. And that has been refreshing. And so I want to encourage anyone who is having these reservations and doubts, do the thing that you know is right. Do it for yourself.
Yes.
Do it for your children. Do it for our country. But don't be afraid, because there is, I don't want to say a soft place to land, because it's not easy, but there's a safe place. And it's worth it. It's worth it.
Stefania, I just want to say, first off, thank you. So proud of you for doing this. Again, I know that it can be nerve-wracking, and I just want you to know you are a very new welcome member of our Leaving MAGA community.
Thank you so much.
Your testimonial, again, so everyone out there knows, it's going to be available at our site probably by the time this video hits at leavingmaga.org. So as we sign off here, I just want to say, as we always do, I'm Rich and I left MAGA.
And I'm Stefania and I left MAGA.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Appreciate everyone for you watching. Hey, everyone, if you like this video, be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any of the updates of our Leaving MAGA videos with the Midas Touch Network. And if you know anyone out there who's left MAGA, or you have a friend or a relative who's not sure about their support for Trump, make sure you get them in touch with us at leavingmaga.org. As always, thank you guys for watching.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas Touch newsletter at midastouch.com/newsletter.